Why don't you put your hand on your ears and say, Holy Spirit, open my ears this morning, my spiritual ears, that I may hear your voice saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Put your hand on your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I might see what you're doing in me. Put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, open my heart that I might receive all that you have for me. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready, ready. Why don't you just get on your feet and shout unto God. Let's praise him. Get on your feet. Let's praise him for a moment. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God with me. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, God. With a loud voice, we bless you. Hallelujah. We honor you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I want you to look for a moment at Exodus chapter 3. I got my big Bible. The Lord told me to get me a big Bible. And every time I look at the big Bible, I'm reminded that God is doing big things. Big things. Because he's a big God. Somebody said, well, how big is big? That's how big God is. Exodus chapter 3, verse 79, page 79 of your big Bible. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. The priest of Midian, he led the flock to the back of the desert, came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hevites, and the Jebusites. And therefore he said, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore. You know, after you preach for a while, you just start ignoring commas and periods. You just keep breathing. Now, therefore, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you. Somebody say you. I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And then the conversation began. Now, you got to realize that Moses was born into royalty. He was born into the home of the king of Egypt, the president, the pharaoh, the leader. And he was trained in all of those ways. He had all of the degrees you could ever imagine. He had life on a silver platter. He was born with a golden spoon in his hand. And he had everything. But when he was 40 years old, he could not ignore the injustice that he's seen. And he was not afraid to speak out in what he was seeing and hearing. And as a result, he had to flee his homeland. He had to flee living in the president's house, the White House of that day. And he went to the backside of the desert. He met a preacher's daughter, and he married the preacher's daughter and began to serve him. And for 40 years, he was there, and it would appear that nothing significant was going to happen in his life. And I'm here to say today that there may be those of you, and I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, that there may be those of you that have certain things in your heart, dreams and visions and passion in your heart. And it may appear that nothing is going to happen. It may appear that time is passing you by and that life is moving on without you. And you are eligible to come to a place of hopelessness and helplessness and thinking, God, what about these dreams? And maybe even going through the death of a vision where the dreams have died and things have died and things are not appearing to happen. It may seem like you're sitting on the sidelines where other people say things that you want to say, do things that you think you could do, maybe even do better. So here we are, and this was Moses, and he could identify with you today, and it appeared nothing was going to happen until a voice came that changed his whole life. And I've declared many times over the years, in these past 28 years in this church, that one word from God can change your life forever. Just one word from God. And so here's Moses, and his whole life changes with one encounter with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him when he turned aside. The Lord said to me, when he called me to pray in 1966, son, if you give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. And when I turned aside to pray, God began to speak to me. And so Moses heard the voice, and he saw the voice, and then he began to respond to the voice. And the Lord began to speak to Moses about an assignment. I believe that our lives are made up of assignments, different assignments in our life, different series of assignments. And so the Lord spoke to Moses that I want you to go and I want you to lead my people out of bondage. And you realize that Moses was not ready for this. I believe that he was probably living, even though he was on the backside of the desert, he was living a quiet, peaceful, serene, orderly life. And then God just came and messed his life up. Because he'd already been in the palace. He'd already had everything you could possibly have. And so what more could he have? So I believe that he was in the process of being a settler or a settler. I believe there's three different types of groups here this morning. There are the museum keepers, the people that think about and talk about what God used to do, how good it used to be. And I hear people, I'm around people and I can tell if they're museum keeper, because they're always talking about things that happened in the past and in the good old days they didn't have much electricity and they had to walk 4 miles to school, but it was a good old day. And then we have the museum keepers, always talking about it. Then we have the settlers, and I'm not being critical of any of these groups of people, but we have the settlers, and they're interested in working 9 to 5 and getting off maybe at 3 o'clock on Friday and having the weekends, and they're going to watch the Longhorns play. And I must congratulate the Longhorns. They're doing very well right now. They've got their life kind of set in order. So they're the settlers, and they're not subject to change. They don't like change. They like working those 50 weeks a year, having the 2-week vacation, and they've got their retirement set in order, and they're settlers, and we thank God for settlers of the church. You can stay around, make some money, so we can pay the bills and get things done, meet the budget. But then there's another group called the pioneers, and God called Moses to be a pioneer, and a pioneer is a person that's always restless. They're always looking out to see what they can do next. Looking out over the countryside to see, is there another opportunity? There's a dream in their heart. There's a vision in their heart. There's a passion inside of them, and they cannot be still. They know that there's more to life than what they're doing. They know there's more to have than what they're having. There's more to build than what they're building. There's more to sell than what they're selling. There's more to preach than what they're preaching. There's more out there. They're pioneers. And there's something about being a pioneer that you want to be a settler, you want to be a museum keeper, you want life to be normal, but it just can't seem to work out like that. Why can't pioneers just be happy? Be happy with what you have. Be happy with what you... Be happy. But there's something that keeps churning and turning over, knowing there is something on the horizon. And Moses is probably enjoying being a settler. He's probably got his home. His father-in-law is the priest of Midian, so he's a pretty significant man, and he's a preacher. He's married to the preacher's daughter, and they've got their sons, and they're... But here comes God stirring everything up and saying, Moses, Moses, here's what you're going to do. Here's what I need you to do. And it's not about you. You must understand that being a true pioneer, it is about you, but it's not just about you. There are people that are waiting for you to pioneer. There are people that are waiting for you to break out, to go to places you've never been, do things you've never done, say things you never said, meet people you never met, operate in gifts you never operated in, build buildings you never built, make sales you never sold, give prophetic words. You understand? And God did not say to Moses, now Moses, here's what you're going to get out of it. He just said, there is a cry that has come up before my people, and I need you. I want you, Moses. I need you. You know, my dream when I was growing up, and some of you heard my testimonies, just my English teacher when I was in the eighth grade gave me a prophetic word. I was going to be a radio announcer. He said, there, you got a radio voice, and you're going to be a radio announcer. I have a little bit of water here. You're going to be a radio announcer. And so that was great. I said, yes, that's what I'll do. Thank you. So immediately, even in the eighth grade, I began to train. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dale Gentry. This is the Dale Gentry radio show. And I began to practice. And then I went off to engineering school. And Jean, both of us made a major commitment because she lived with my parents a while, lived with her parents for a while. I went to Dallas from our little town of Comanche, Oklahoma. I went to Dallas and was away from her for weeks at a time. Second anniversary, we weren't even together. And I went to engineering school, at radio school, so I could get my license. I could get my first-class engineering license. So we both paid the price, and I worked two or three little radio stations, and I got a job at a CBS affiliate in Wichita Falls. And I was an engineer there. I was a news person. I was a disc jockey. Saying, this is the Dale Gentry radio show. And we bought us a home. Everything was in place. We were now settlers. We had a good church. Went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we paid our tithes, gave offerings above our tithes. And we had a little two-year-old son. By this time, we had a dog named Tex. And he was Tex was in the backyard. And everything, had our insurance, everything was set. Huh? And then God came and messed it all up. Messed it all up. And said to me one morning when I said, God, what can you do for me? He said, give me the first hour of your day. So I went and started praying. And then God called me to preach. And I never went to Bible school, seminary. That's great. But Gene and I just sold everything we had on March the 12th, 1967. With one revival, it started out in the ministry, no insurance, no income. One revival, 15 miles down the road, our car broke down. The engine was gone. We had to be towed to our first revival. But the Lord said, you're a pioneer. You're not a museum keeper. You're not a settler. You're a pioneer. So Gene and I have been pioneering over the years, and every time we start pioneering, we have this small beginning. I hate it. I hate having small beginnings. It's humiliating. So we started the ministry, ministering these little churches, and then our first church that we pastored was 25 people. Stayed there for 2 years, and the last Sunday we had 27. We grew two people in 2 years. And I just said, God, I hate these small beginnings because I work my way up. in radio as an engineer and a sportscaster. And I visited my friend that helped me get on at the radio station this summer. He's still working in radio. He's got his house paid for. He's got everything in order. I mean, he has got a major business. And look at me. The Lord said he's a settler and you're a pioneer. And so, Gene and I pioneered. I started a Christian school in Oklahoma City in 1985. There's been thousands of young people that's gone through that school, but we started out, and it was, I hired the wrong person to be the administrator, and she called me in one day. The school was about 8 months old, and all these teachers were sitting, had all the lady teachers, she was a woman administrator, and all the ladies sitting on the tables, and she said, "We're taking the school, and we're taking it over, and I'm going to be the leader, and we're going to set things in proper motion." And I looked at them, went back down to my office, and I began to call them in and fired them one by one. I hated it. But the school is still in existence today. She's not there. She took the report cards and left. I mean, even this very morning, I recorded my first prayer service on bpnradio.com. Because the Lord spoke to me months ago, I want you to expand your prayer ministry. And I want you to go and broadcast 24 hours a day over the internet. How can I do that? I'm only one man. But God gives you a word. You hear it, and then you see it, and then you say it. I begin to say to people, I'm going to broadcast 24 hours a day. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I just say it. Because your words, your voice sets things in motion. Your words are creative words. God spoke the word and the worlds came into existence. We create our future with our words. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I found a friend of mine who's an engineer. He's been a college professor for 21 years, and he's brilliant. And he said, "I can help you set it up." And so we've done it all by Skype. He's in England. He's in Germany today. And I bought the equipment. And after all these years, I've gone back on radio, internet radio, where people can pray with me over the internet, over their computer. They can pray with me with their smartphone, iPhone in their hand. And they can pray with me as they go down the road in their car, anytime, day or night. So starting at midnight tonight, there's a lady in Moldova who's also an engineer. And she will put the broadcast that I recorded today, this morning. And I want to tell you, I struggle. And you will never, ever be a pioneer without struggling. I remember the first big audience that I ever ministered at was in England at a conference. There was 10,000 people there, and I got up to minister because I'd given prophetic words in England. I got up to minister, and I struggled. I just struggled, and I could not find my way, and I was so embarrassed. And I went to my hotel room. I was depleted. I was so depleted. The Lord just said, "I've called you to be a pioneer. And you're gonna struggle. There's times when you just struggle." And today I struggled through my first hour, the first broadcast that'll be put on tonight. And probably when you start praying with me tomorrow, you'll know that I've struggled a little bit. But that's what pioneers do. And the Bible says that we're not to despise the day of small beginnings. And God said to Moses, "You go there." He had something in his hand. He said, "How am I going to do it?" He said, "You've got a rod in your hand and you've got something at your hand. And that's your influence that you spent 40 years. I mean, how can he just go and have a meeting with Pharaoh? Because he was the former Pharaoh's grandson, adopted grandson. So he had that at his hand, the influence that he could go to the White House, he could go to the palace and get an entrance and get a conversation, get an audience with Pharaoh. So every one of you today, you have something in your hand right this moment. and you have something at your hand. The Lord said to me, you go back on radio now, and you have experience in your hand, but at your hand is a man who will help you. And this man has spent weeks and weeks with me, training me on how to read. I was an engineer, but you got to realize that was 40-something years ago. And how to put all the equipment in place. And I've got the mixer. I've got the compressor. I've got three computers. I've got two microphones. I've got the recording system. I've got to learn how to do it. And he's there on Skype. He's walking me through. But at my hand was my friendship with him over the years when I went to England and gave prophetic words. And he got attracted to that. He said, Dale, I will help you. There is somebody that is waiting to help you now. Waiting to help you now. Fulfill your dreams and visions. And what God has put in your heart. So there, Moses had the rod in his hand. And he had influence in Pharaoh's house at his hand. I feel the Holy Ghost now. I feel the Holy Ghost. When I start feeling the Holy Ghost, I have to throw something or shake something. Our stirs, I do have to do something. So why would you allow life to pass you by without fulfilling your assignments, your dreams, your visions? And you say, well, how am I going to do it? There's something in your hand. Moses said, I'm not a good public speaker. He said, well, there comes Aaron. He's going to help you right now. Huh? God will give you partners. Peter fished all night, caught no fish. But there was a word from God. Put your net out again. He put it down again. And then the Bible said there was partners came and helped him fill his boat, fill their boat. There's somebody waiting to help you. And so you can't despise the day of small beginnings. Or I'm back at radio, and I just felt, man, and before I came to the service, I had to get this recorded because you send it to the engineer in Moldova, and she's about 9 hours ahead near Russia. She got to put it on, get it ready for midnight. I had to do it before I came to church, but I just felt like it just wasn't good. But the Lord just said, no, that's what pioneers do. Pioneers, they're willing to make a few mistakes. They're willing to fall down seven times and get up again. That they will not quit. They realize they're going to do it. They're going to get it done. There is a way. There's a way to do it. And where there seems to be no way, there is a way. There's a way. From 85 till 87, I was a part of the fastest growing church in America at that time, Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas. And there was a man by the name of David Young Hee Cho who had the largest church in the world. And he came. And one of the staff members, one of the leaders of the church, said to him, and Dr. Cho, and what is the secret to your success of having 800,000 members in your church in Seoul, South Korea? And everybody was waiting for some profound response. And his response was, I pray and I obey. Ha, ha, ha. That's it. I pray and I obey. Ha, ha, ha. So how are we going to do it? There's a way. There's a way. There's a way to do it. The story appeared in USA Today years ago about this man named Larry Walters had a desire to fly, but he had no money to take flying lessons. But he knew there was a way. There's always a way. So one day he had this bright idea. He was in the backyard of his girlfriend, Carol. And he got into this lawn chair. And she strapped him in with several belts. And tied 47 helium balloons on the lawn chairs. And Larry said, I've got to fly. There's just a way to fly. And so she cut him loose. and he began to fly. And he got into the flight pattern at LAX International Airport, Los Angeles. And one of the pilots radioed back to the tower and said, "You're not going to believe what I'm seeing. There's a man up here in a lawn chair." And he began to shoot. He took his BB gun, began to shoot the helium balloons out one at a time. And lo and behold, he did land safely in the field. And the police were chasing him. The news media was watching for this time. And they arrested Larry Walters. But they did not know what to charge him with. They finally gave him a ticket for flying without a license. So he appeared on the David Letterman show. I think they said David Letterman gave him $100 to come share his story. But he was able to do it because he said, "I'm going to fly, and there's a way. I believe I can fly. I believe you can fly. I believe you can do all. I'm going to prophesy over this church today. I believe you can fly. I believe that you have a pioneer spirit. And I believe that God is setting a home base in motion in this church, but I believe this church will multiply and out in surrounding areas of Austin, Texas, and into different parts of the nation, the world. And it will be combined with entrepreneurs. There will always be an entrepreneurial spirit in this church. And I declare that there's going to be multimillionaires that will come out of this congregation to make great money and help finance the end time harvest. Because I believe it's going to be a church full of entrepreneurs, business people. I believe we're going to help each other get started. And there's amazing things that's going to happen because of the spirit of the entrepreneur, the spirit of prosperity is in this house. And I declare there's a pioneer spirit in this house. And you're going to begin to do things, expand in ways that you never thought you could expand. First of all, into outlying areas of Austin, Texas, including a place in downtown Austin and other cities and other nations of this world. Pick that up. Thank you, Eric. One of my favorite people. A 20? Put it back up. Put the money back. Put the hat back. Put the money back. Thank you very much. I know that if everybody forsakes me, Darren and Eric, they'll never forsake me. They'll be with me all the way, even to the end of the world. I want us to stand right now. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I just sense the spirit of faith rising in this place. I want y'all to come. Would everybody just come and pray with me? I'm going to give a few prophetic words over individuals. I want everybody to come. Would you come? Would you please come? Give me a little, just a little soft worship music there. Everybody come, please. Whether you're visiting or whether you've been here for 28 years, 30 years, would you just please come and just gather in. Everybody. Well, I'd love for you to pray with me. And you just go to the new website, bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and just encourage me, huh? Send me an email or something. So for 24 hours a day, I'll be praying. Anytime, day or night, I'll be praying. You know how I'm able to do that? Because God said you do it. You pray, you lead prayer 24 hours a day. I said, "Lord, I don't know how I'll do that." Moses said, I don't know how I could ever go to Pharaoh's palace. But he ended up and he led the children of Israel into the promised land. He fulfilled his assignment. And there are assignments that in every one of your hearts. It's in your eyes. I can just look at your eyes and I can see it. And I know there's some museum keepers here. And I congratulate you on past exploits. I congratulate you on your faithfulness. I believe there's some settlers here that you've just settled in and you got a job, you're being faithful to God. I congratulate you. There's some pioneers out there. You just say, I just got some things in my heart that I want to do. I want to die a pioneer. With a Bible in one hand and a microphone in the other. So when you pass by my casket, I want you to cry real loud. Wail. Throw yourself on the coffin. Friend of mine said he's already hired people to wail at his funeral. He's already. So, a microphone in one hand, a Bible in the other hand. I want to die a pioneer. And I want to have an assignment in motion. And I know there'll be some assignments I'll start. I'll never complete here, but there'll be some other people that they'll complete it. But you got to realize we lived in the land of opportunity. I mean, if you would have told me when I was in radio in the early 60s, mid-60s, there'll come a day that you'll be able to have a broadcast that people anywhere in the world can listen to, I would say, no, that could never be. But here we are. And there's opportunities that are at your hand. And so what do? You hear it. You hear something, and then you see something. If you see it, you can have it. That's why God was speaking to people of old and saying to them, what do you see? What do you see? And they would speak back to him. Jeremiah, what do you see? Amos, what do you see? And they would speak back to him what they saw. And when that dream gets in your eyes, the life leaves you. And I can tell when the life leaves a person because there's nothing there in their eyes. It gets in your eyes. And you see it. And there will be opposition. There will be people that won't agree with you. They'll oppose you. They won't support you. They won't help you. But there is an Aaron out there. There is a God. And there are partners that are waiting for you. And there's a way to do it. I believe I can fly. So I'm going to pray for you right now. And here's what happens to me. In my prayer time, in this atmosphere, is where God reveals himself to me. And it's during these times that I get a hold of something. And I refuse to let it go. God called me to preach on a Sunday night when a prophet by the name of David Wilkerson came to our church. The next morning when I went to the radio station, there were voices that said to me, no, you can't do that. That really wasn't God. But I got a hold of it. I got a hold of it. And it got into my heart. What has kept me going? What has kept Gene and I going? Because I could have never done it without her for these 47 years. It's called passion. It gets in your ears, it gets in your eyes, and it gets in your heart. And it won't leave. And you may push it aside, it may die, it may take on, but it's there. Because it was the Holy Ghost that put it in your heart. And you're never too young and you're never too old. And when I turned 70 years old, I thought, Lord, now's the time for me just to kind of chill out a little bit. But now God's got me in one of the greatest assignments that I've ever had. And that is going to lead prayer on radio and calling for 1,000 cities and 1,000 prayer centers and 1,000 prayer leaders. So we can have revival in America. Another spiritual awakening. And I agree with my brother. There's a wave coming. The Lord spoke to me several days ago and said, revival has begun in this nation. And I don't know exactly where it's at, but it's begun. And God is going to provide us, his children, the greatest opportunities that we have ever had. We need to get ready. You ready, David? Paul? Close enough. It was Paul Young Hee Cho. Now it's David Young Hee Cho. So it's whether it doesn't make any difference, Paul or David. I call people different names anyhow. So I just declare in Jesus' name, the hand of God is upon you guys, and that God has given you opportunity to train young people, to school young people, to house young people, You cannot let it go. Hallelujah. There's facilities that's going to fall in your hand. And it's not going to just be one school. It's going to be a whole network of schools.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Wes, I just declare you guys, multimillionaires. Of course, that's probably not a new word. You've known for a long time you're going to be multimillionaires. Huh? How long have you known that? For 10 years. So that's a confirming word. When I prophesy, it could be a now word, something God is doing now. It could be a future word, something God's going to do in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It could be confirming word, something you already known for 10 years. Or it could be a new word, something you've never known. I want to give you a word, the lady, young lady in the green. Come right, yeah. What's your name? Allie, I see you in Christian movies. I see you in Christian theater. Have you ever thought about that? You have. Is that a confirming word? The movie, the Christian movie industry is just going to expand. It's going to explode. I want the RN, whoever that is. What's your name? Isaac, you're going to help produce Christian music, movies, and music. You are a producer. I lay hands on you right now. Jesus' name, you're a producer. Hallelujah. What's your name, man of God? Just step up on the first. Yeah, I know you. I just can't quite remember your name. Get up on that first step right there. I just speak healing, health, wholeness, and wellness. I declare the gift of healing is going to flow through you. I declare in Jesus' name, the word of knowledge. And when you start praying for people, it's going to be like a ticker tape that goes on the bottom of the screen. You're just going to spell out conditions. You can't even pronounce it. But you'll just say you have APTRO, and you just start spelling it out. Jesus' name. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray. Can I have 5 minutes of your time? Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name for everyone in this building on a Sunday morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Billy? Billy, come here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your wife with you there? Yeah, just come on. So you guys keep coming back and forth, but I'm telling you, the spirit of, in this house you're going to take to wherever you're living, you're going to pioneer a ministry. I tell you, there are people in this building that do not live here anymore, but they're going to take the spirit of this house and they're going to plant churches under the auspices, under the covering of this house. Because I truly believe that Bill Hart is an apostle. And he'll give apostolic oversight to many churches in many different geographical locations. Hallelujah. These churches, I hear the Holy Ghost saying, will be financed by business people that come. Because in connected to every church, including this one, is a school of business.
Yes.
And so, Bill Hart has always been connected to business. I mean, you can't take that away from him. He's a pastor and a business person. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's easier to do three things than one thing. So, connected to every one of these different geographical locations, out of this mother's church, there will come many geographical locations. And everyone will be connected to a business center, training people how to do business. And they, in turn, will finance the work of the ministry. So I declare it over you guys. Hallelujah. A new season coming. You're ready to do that. You just carry the spirit of this house into other geographical locations. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for these people right now. And help us not to be afraid. To fall down. And to end a broadcast saying, I struggled with that. Are ministering to a group of people where you just stutter and stammer through a message and go back to the hotel saying, I'm just so embarrassed and so ashamed. And no, it's all a process. It's all a process. So I pray for you now. I pray for pioneer spirit to come out of you. That you'll not be afraid. Well, what if I don't make it? But what if you do? Two men working in the lighthouse. And there's a major storm. And there's a major storm, and the SOS comes out from a ship. Help, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. And there was an old man and a young man working, as the story goes, in the lighthouse. And the older man said, We've got to go help the ship. We've got to go out now. And the young man said to him, but what if we don't come back? And he said, we don't have to come back, but we've got to go out. Huh? So there's a pioneer spirit that says, we may not make it, but we're not going to die with dreams and visions in our heart. We don't have to come back, but we got to go out. We don't have to succeed, but we must do it. Because somebody's waiting. And if Gene and I hadn't gone out on March the 12th, 1967, I would not be here today. Dale Gentry would not be here. There would be somebody else that would be helping celebrate the 30th anniversary. It wouldn't have been me. But I'm thankful that we went out, and I'm thankful that I can speak into your life today. So I release that pioneer spirit in you. In the name of Jesus. Come here, Natasha. I will pray for you. Hallelujah. I just hear the Lord saying over you that you've been a silent supporter for a long time. But there's some dreams in your heart. Huh? And I know that you've been content to be a good wife and a good mother. And I've just seen how you, over the years, have brought your children up to the front and taught them how to pray. Taught them how to praise and dance with them. But there's something stirring in your spirit. There's something in your heart. I just hear the Lord saying, it's your time. It's your turn. And there's people that's waiting to help you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. So I just declare, you can do it. You can do this and you will do this. And the hand of God will be upon you. And there will be many that will celebrate with you. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So I just look in your eyes and I just see those dreams and visions, what you want to do. And sometimes we play a supportive role for a long time, and then the Lord says, it's time for you to be first chair. It's your turn. It's your time. The anointing of God's going to come upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is going to direct you. You're going to know how to flow in the Holy Ghost. You're going to know how to work with the Holy Ghost. And the anointing of God is going to come upon you. God is going to give you words about prayer. You're going to share these words, the revelatory words about prayer. Many people are going to respond to the prayer message because of what is in your heart. Where's Bill's mother? I saw her at the banquet. Come on up. Huh? What? Rhonda, faithful woman, I bless you right now in Jesus' name. All those years, just the Lord just wants to let you know that there is something larger on the horizon. There's a new assignment and it's looming big. Huh? You got people that are waiting to help you. Kirindo Rendi Larando So is one of the very few churches in America that I can pray in tongues on Sunday morning. They usually don't want me to do this on Sunday. Rikamando Seke Larando Sarabra Ote Mindrebariatarabasotre Briite. And I just hear your teachings going all across the land. Teachings. Reaching into other nations as you teach and share. And someone coming along to help you write those three books. Thank you, Lord. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. In Jesus' name, I pray for you now. I pray that your faith fail not. I pray for you now. The anointing of the Holy Ghost rest upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just know I just know, Bill, there's more for you to do than being an MC. But although you are a good MC. And I pray for you now. And Tracy, I declare that God has brought you to this house to help expand what God is doing in this place. To multiply the influence of this house. And Alex, I just want to prophesy over you. Hallelujah. 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 But there's another place you're going to stand in. Same church here, same Austin. But there's another opportunity in Austin. Hallelujah. It's big and it's major. It's a step up. Just take a step up. Up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I pray for you now. Just take one step here. I just declare in Jesus' name that the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And there's been everything thrown at your way that possibly can be thrown to stop you from obtaining the prize. But I declare in Jesus' name that the God that's brought you this far has not brought you this far to let you down or let you drown. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the mantle for women to preach in this house has been released. I just released that anointing by the laying on of my hands and the anointing to teach by the laying on of my hands. Hallelujah. 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 To raise up your own in a major way. Declare, Mark, you're going to be a major financier. Hallelujah. Major financier. You're going to finance. You're going to finance companies and corporations. Sure, you're going to prophesy the word of the Lord. Declare the word of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. 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 Jack, you're gonna take many missionary journeys. Hallelujah. To spy out the land, spy out the land, spy out the land. So we're gonna plant a church. We're gonna plant a church and a business. Everywhere we plant, it's a church and a business. A church and a school of business. Church and a school of business. Church and a school of business. Hallelujah. It's gonna write poetry. Poetry that's going to be read by millions of people going to read poetry. What am I doing? I'm just looking at all of you and seeing that God has given you incredible stuff. The young man with the glasses back there has a medical gift. You ever thought about medicine? Huh? You got a medical gift. I got a spiritual son who's a surgeon. He studied under Dr. Michael DeBake, the famed heart transplant guy. You have a medical gift. I see the same thing I see in him, I see in you. Who am I? That's the very first thing we want to say. Who am I? Yeah. We're God's children. We're born. We're created with a divine purpose. You understand? Divine purpose. Daniel chapter 10. The promise was true, but it was a long time coming. You keep your grip on what God has put in your heart. Actually, in your belly. You know what she put her hand just then? She put it on her belly. Jesus said, out of your belly. That's King James. Out of your belly. Your physical heart is here, but your spiritual heart is right here. Out of your belly. It just comes right up. It comes up, up, up. It's passion. It's here. And it gets right to your mouth. And you better say something. Because if it gets up into your head, you'll say, no, I can't do that. No, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not educated enough. And it gets up in your mind, and your mind begins to war against what you believe God has put. You say it. Yes. You say it. Yes. You say it. You say it. You say it. You say, I'm going to be an all-American athlete. I'm going to be an all-American. I'll be an all-American. I'll be listed on the all-America team. You'll be interviewed on radio and TV, and God will promote you, enlarge you, and expand you. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Darren. Mighty man of God. Mighty man of God. Hallelujah. This church will always be in good hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I bless you right now. I bless you in Jesus' name. May the power of God and the anointing of God be upon you, young man. What's your name? Kenneth. Come here, Kenneth. You're a pioneer. The hand of God is upon you. You're a powerful young man. You see it. You see it. You see it. And you are not afraid. You're not afraid. You are a fearless warrior. And you will do big stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Samuel, I see you in Christian movies. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Come on, lift your hands, receive. Just say, Lord, I receive. I receive. I receive. I receive this morning. I receive, God. I receive. I receive. I receive it. I receive it. I receive the dreams and visions you put in my heart. And I'm thankful that I could be in a church where we can climb the ladder and explore and explode. Explore and explode. Explore and explode. Because the whole world's coming to Austin. That's what a sign has been saying. You may have read it. The whole world is coming to Austin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing is upon me. You just might want to reach out and touch my hand a little bit. I just agree with some of you. Get a little Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The anointing, the anointing, the anointing to do the will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God. Hallelujah. I will do the will of God. I will do. I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. I will do the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. I will do it. I may not come back, but I'm going out. I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may not graduate, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to start. I'm going to do it. Because I know that all things are possible. And nothing is impossible. Bill Hart, I love you. I'll just let you do the benediction. Thank you for sowing into Gene and I. Thank you for being my Austin pastor, my friend. And congratulations for 30 years. You're a faithful man. You've stayed the course. Hallelujah. You passed the test. And I declare that God is multiplying you. Your seed is being multiplied. And I bless you right now. In Jesus' name. You see that couple right there? They're all hugged up. Evidently they're in love. They're going to be major, major players in the future and what God is doing in this house. And so I bless all of you, and I bless you, man of God. I love you.
Just say yes, Bill. Say yes, Bill. Wow. Man, how many feel the release this morning?